I know that there's more potential in here than what I'm living, and I need to be able to find that, and I can't do it alone. And it was when I admitted that to myself is when I started to see the results kind of pour in. It's like, sometimes you just need help.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sid Charisse.
And I'm David Bosher.
And you're listening to Destroy the Hairdresser,
where we teach you to salon differently.
After years of searching, we finally found a software that does it all. Introducing Aura Salonware. With Aura, you have the simple tools to streamline your business, such as a card on file, settings for hourly pricing, and even station sharing options. Implement communication boundaries with clients by interacting directly through Aura. Finally, a software that takes your business as seriously as you do. If you're interested in this type of profit maximization, visit aurasalonware.com/DTH to receive special discounts and promos.
As a hairdresser, I know the struggle of managing your back bar, and that's where our friends at Salon Skill come to play. While you weigh your products with their app, Salon Skill automatically tracks your products used, making inventory management a breeze. Not to mention they also save your formula. They are a digital solution for back bar management, and they really make it easy. You know we're both big on knowing your numbers, and Salon Skill does just that. Visit salonskill.com/DTH and use the code DTH10 at checkout for 10% off your first year.
So today we have one of our coaches on, which is like our favorite day, I think.
I feel like we need to continue. We need either more coaches or bring them back in.
But we are here with Ethan Flores. He is one of our coaches here in Chicago, mm-hmm. which is also where most of our coaches are from.
Yeah.
But Ethan, we want to hear about how you got started with Destroy the Hairdresser. What do you currently do and why you continue to...
My story.
Stay employed at Destroy the Hairdresser.
Because I like you guys so much and I get sent raccoon videos on Instagram all the time. That's
the basis of our company.
That's the perks and the benefits that I didn't know about when I started.
It wasn't in the contract.
It wasn't, but I enjoy it. So yeah, I started with Destroy the Hairdresser back in 2021. It was shortly after my daughter was born. I had moved around the country quite a bit. So I was living in Denver for about 5 to 6 years. And then my wife and I decided we were going to move back to the Midwest. But I wasn't really keen on moving back to Illinois,
yeah.
Chicago, because there was a reason why I left in the first place. Mm-hmm. So we moved to Michigan because we really like it up in Michigan.
I'm from Michigan,
yeah.
Originally.
Yeah. So lakes up there. And we were staying in this lake house like up on a river. And I was in love with it, and we got pregnant and went through all that stuff, and we're like, okay, can we really make this work up here? And it was a lot easier for us to move back to Illinois, and there was a lot of family stuff too, so my wife wanted to be closer to family, and I kind of told her, I was like, if we're going to be close, we might as well be close.
Yeah. If you're going to do it, let's do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, if we're going to do it, we might as well. We don't want to go there. But, so we ended up moving back, and I started working at this place. And it was great, but it was another safe move for me. And at the time, I didn't think anything of it because it was very logical for me. And
where you weren't like, in DTH yet.
He looked and he's like, yeah, I figured. So, you know, at which point I decided
you're forgiven,
that I
you weren't in the program yet.
No, I wasn't. Yeah. This is why I joined the program, right?
How did you find Destroy the Hairdresser?
It was a Joy LeMay class. It was the how to
save your way to
101K.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
that's a popular one. We've talked about Joy a lot in these recent episodes.
Joy really is the glue that holds Destroy the Hairdresser together.
We love Joy. Love Joy.
We haven't had her on the podcast yet, but she'll make her debut soon.
So you took that class.
I took the class.
Like you purchased, came to the class.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. And then
you're like, this shit is weird. Let's do more of it.
About a year after that, I was just bouncing back and forth because it was always a financial commitment
to me.
And when we moved, I obviously was building a clientele from scratch. And I built a clientele from scratch in Michigan. And by the time that I did that and had a steady income, we decided to uproot that.
And then you did it again.
Back to Illinois. And then I did it again for a few months. Then I joined Destroy the Hairdresser. And then 3 weeks after that, I quit the salon and tripled my prices.
Mm-hmm.
Tripled.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Can we zoom in on Ethan's face?
Tripled.
Yeah, tripled the prices.
I had like a slow-mo effect and fireworks.
And it was a huge risk because we had just moved. We bought our first house. We just had our baby. And
a lot
I'm
of people wouldn't do that out of fear of losing.
Well, before I want to dive into that, but what made you actually call Destroy the Hairdresser? Because you had taken the class,
yeah.
And then I'm sure life took over? And then what was the final, like, I'm getting a coach, I'm going to call?
The fuck this
Yeah,
moment.
I was really tired of hearing the way that I wanted to do things was wrong. Hmm. So what I mean by that is I was always working in salons where it was encouraged to double book. It was encouraged to a la carte pricing. It was encouraged to
encouraged
overwork.
Or demanded?
Demanded.
Yeah, did
demanded.
You eat lunch?
I did. Sometimes. But
you're
yeah,
very
I mean,
skinny, so I'm not sure if that's true.
I eat a lot, David. No. No, it was a lot of that. And what was calling to me was just that level of consciousness of getting out of that burnout mindset. Because I knew that there was a way to do things differently. And then even with the hourly pricing, I think the thing that drew it to me the most was that I got to tell people what they needed with their hair. Mm-hmm. I was so tired of asking permission for my clients to give them something that I knew that they needed, but yeah. they didn't know that they needed it, and they weren't able to get over the fact that it was $15 more for...
Mm-hmm. An upsell.
Yeah, an upsell. And I didn't want to upsell. I just wanted to give people what they needed to have the hair that they wanted. And that's all
imagine
that they want.
Imagine going to the doctor and them being like, you do need this tetanus shot, but it is going to be it's going to be an extra 15. And then us being like, I'm good.
No.
I don't think so. But when you called, you had kind of... I'm assuming you had listened to the podcast, or was it just that one class?
It was that one class. It was Instagram. It was Patricia, actually,
yes.
Because Patricia and I had worked together at a previous salon. So the first salon that I ever worked at was the salon that Patricia worked at.
Ah.
She worked there when I started.
I didn't know you guys went so way back.
I didn't know
way,
that.
It was deep. So 2009, I think I met Patricia, maybe 2008.
I was unaware.
They keep
that.
Secrets yeah. from us, which is good. Now we have a surprise.
Was it a secret?
No, I'm kidding.
I mean, no, I didn't know that his first class was 101K.
Do I even know Ethan? Continue.
How long do you have?
literally 25 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of that, just kind of seeing the content kind of getting pushed on. And I actually signed up for a discovery call earlier in the year before I signed up, and it was... in March, and
normal.
It was when you all were still doing the discovery calls with the coaches.
Ah. Mm.
So I actually talked to Patricia.
Oh, and that's who you ended up working with, right?
But then...
No. I ended up working
coached?
With Lowe.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were coached by Coach Lowe.
Yeah.
For
shout
a while,
out,
though.
Shout out to Coach Lowe.
Hey, we miss you. What's really cool about that is, like, I do... From the, like, pretty much instantly from the time you started, Lowe was like, y'all, I have the student and something is different. Like... It was like every time I had a coaching call with her and we were talking about her business, she would find a way to bring you up. I'm like, you need to hire him. You need to hire him. You need to hire him. Like, she was your biggest advocate.
Yeah.
I felt like
Patricia was too, though. Kid?
But well, now that I know the history.
I'm telling Ethan's story. You went and worked with Patricia.
Yeah, I went and worked for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the salon. Yeah.
I think that might be too confusing to the listeners.
Yeah.
Because he worked with her in 2009.
Yeah.
Moved away. Came back and then worked at her salon.
At her salon that
and then
she
I worked
owns
at her
now.
Salon.
She,
yeah, that okay, was the it. Salon that I ended up moving to from that comfortable commission salon.
I think that's a really unique experience because not a lot of DTH students get to then go work in a DTH salon.
No, yeah.
And not only get to embody a business that's practicing that model, but also have support in working on your own individuality and goals, which is really cool.
Yeah, it was weird. I think the weirdest thing was being asked what I wanted to charge. You know, she didn't tell me, you know, and it was something that I was working with my coach as well. But I mean, walking into that space, I just always remember how empowered I felt in that moment, which is great because now when I interview people, I kind of give them that space and give them that moment to really come up with that answer themselves. And I'll help them with the formula that we have and things like that. But they really take responsibility over what they want to be charging.
Yeah.
What was it like to work at a Destroy the Hairdresser salon?
It was weird.
It is weird.
It is
was
weird.
Was it hard at first?
Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, because I had been working since 2008. So there's that level of comfortability. There's that level of habits that you get used to.
That you don't necessarily realize are harmful.
I mean, it's really empowering, but it was just a really different experience for me. And being truly supported felt really good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, day one, I walked into Patricia's office and I was like, hey, listen, this is kind of my growth plan. Like, I want to open a salon.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, she's like, great, let's make it happen. I was like, what? You know, I was that's so tired of hiding and concealing the fact that this is what I wanted mm-hmm. with, you know, other salon owners. And I was tired of being afraid. I was tired of all of that stuff. And it was great to have that freedom to just really talk to your boss about something like that. So
I think you went from a commission stylist to now owning your own space.
Yep.
And starting your own business. And that you already have plans for expansion and growth. What was that journey like? Because I think that moment is what a lot of commission stylists want, but sometimes they feel so small. Like, what do you feel like it took to get to that next level?
You could sit around and you could wait forever. You know, you could wait for that one thing that says, like, you're ready. But if you've gone through, like, the parenting thing, you know what that's like, too. It's like you don't really know that you're ready until you're ready. And really, for me, it was just, it happened, right? It was forced upon me. and I always knew that I was ready to do it. I just was so afraid to actually take that next step.
Yeah.
But then when it came, it was like, yeah, I'll figure it out because yes. I have to, right? And that's how I always have thrived the best. But now it's like, okay, I know I'll be fine. So I might as well just make the decision for myself.
As opposed to waiting for it.
We've
been talking
about that a lot. Yeah, as opposed to waiting for it. Because, I mean, that process brought on a whole bunch of fear. And, I mean, you and I had a bunch of conversations mm-hmm. in that time, too. It was like, how do I figure this all out? And it was complete chaos for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks. That's it. Yeah. It's like I was worried about all this stuff for 2 weeks of anxiety.
Yeah.
And now I get to have everything that I wanted. So.
And more.
Yeah. And more. And really have like a clear growth plan as to where I'm going and how I'm going to grow and who I'm going to grow with, which is really exciting. And it gets you out of that mindset.
When you were a student, yep. I think it's interesting for our listeners who've never been in the program to hear what it's like on the inside of the program and like what was scary and what was overwhelming and like what was the experience like? What scared you the most when you started the program? Or what method maybe scared you the most?
I think raising my prices always.
So it wasn't even going to hourly. It was.
No, I was so ready. I was so ready for that.
Yeah.
I think just following Destroy the Hairdresser, I kind of knew what I was getting into before I even got into it. Even the consciousness stuff, I was on board. I was ready for it. You know, I wanted to dive deeper because I knew when we have new students and they have an intake, they fill out a sheet and I filled out one just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And there was a section in there and it said something like, why did you decide to join coaching? And I was like, I want to do so much. And I have no idea how to do it. It's like, I know that there's more potential in here than what I'm living. And I need to be able to find that. And I can't do it alone.
Yeah.
And it was when I admitted that to myself is when I started to see the results kind of pour in. It's like, sometimes you just need help.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I think people go to their friends, family, and like other, like they go to like their community first to see if they can get that. And I think a lot of people get, not rejected, but like, those who aren't ready for what you're ready for. And so they kind of like...
Or it seems scary to them. And they're like,
yeah.
Why are you doing that?
I think when we're talking about getting a coach, it's not just for advice. It's like, get someone who is automatically on your side that isn't focused on why you shouldn't do something, but focus on why you should do something. And I think that is... A, it's great, but I think it's also kind of overwhelming when someone's like,
oh, for sure.
Oh, you want to do that? Let's do it. And then you're like,
oh,
that's
shit.
A whole other problem.
You're like, I was hoping you'd make it draw
yeah, these
out.
Are more problems than I came to you with in the first place.
Exactly.
Well, every problem that we solve, and this is like DTH 101, it's going to open up and unearth another one. It truly is opening your closet that you've been hoarding and stuffing things in for so long. And we pull down one pair of pants and next thing you know, like boxes fall on us and then we got to deal with that. And then, you know, it's just, it's never ending.
That's a great visual.
Mm-hmm.
What was in the program, what were you surprised to get out of it that maybe you weren't expecting?
So the biggest takeaway and one of the methods that I love the most and I love teaching the most is the vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And taking the risks and doing the things. So what was my biggest takeaway was kind of that and the four phases, honestly, and really understanding the start of an idea, because I've always had an idea to open a salon mm-hmm. since I've been.
How do you get it to the manifestation
part? And now how do I get it there? You know, and that part of the process and going through the obstacle, which is whatever, if it's financial, if it's, I don't know if I'm a leader, I don't know if I want to be a leader. I think a lot of people have issues with that as well. And really kind of coming to terms with a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're transitioning from, we talk about this a lot too, like transitioning from a student to a coach, not that every student becomes a coach, but when you do make that transition, what was it like when you were then behind the veil of everything you were learning? Because I think some people assume that like what we teach is like what we teach, and then it's like, what's going on behind the scenes? What's that been like for you?
Like as a coach?
As a coach, yeah.
It was honestly what I expected and what I was kind of craving. Mm-hmm. You know, the conversations that were happening, and albeit, like I said, with the raccoon stuff, like, there's a lot of jokes, you
know? That's just you all being
there's a lot
best
of jokes,
friends.
But I think we can't always be so serious all the time. Yeah. And I think that's something that I actually really struggle with. But yeah, it was a lot of elevated conversations and how to critically think not only about our students, but about our own businesses. And I think that's really the way that we help our students the most is by critically thinking about our businesses, you know, because we're making all of the changes and we're doing all the things, we're implementing all of the systems and
being coached.
And being coached, which is overwhelming at times.
Coaches have coached. Yeah. I'm a little overwhelmed.
Coach Kate loves
I'm like, what's your wrist today, Ethan? He's like, I just woke up.
I just put my pants on. Yeah.
Sometimes that's the risk.
That's the risk.
I got out of bed today.
Exactly. End of day.
I think so many people too, they're like, I want to be a coach. And what's funny is all of our coaches now, they realize how hard it is to be a coach. And also just like how much you also have to mentally and like protect your own self through boundaries and things like that, because we're taking on a lot of people's problems. But that's something I always wonder, like, why did you want to become a coach? Because sometimes it's like, oh, I just want to be with all my friends, or I want to do something fun, or I love the company. But what I find the most is that people get so addicted to the growth that they're like, I gotta help other people do this too.
Yeah.
Why did you become a coach?
Why? I always wanted to.
Or were you forced in it?
No, I wasn't forced into it. It was
because Lo and me and David were all like, "You're going to be a coach."
Because he's got a non-compete, mm-hmm. can't leave.
Yeah. You wish.
That was what I signed.
No.
Exactly. In blood.
In blood and guts.
Yeah, I wanted to be a coach because I wanted to change the industry. That was always a big goal of mine. And when I first started, I thought the only way to do that was to be an educator, because that's how I saw people do it. This is back in, you know, 2007. And the only way to do it was to not only be an educator, but to be an educator for another company, mm-hmm. right? You couldn't be an independent educator because they didn't exist back then, or at least not to the scale that we have them now. And what I found is that my passion lies within the people of the industry and really elevating how people run their businesses in specific regards to like how they're training people as well, and how the newer stylists in the industry get treated when they come out. Because I know that I've had pretty negative experiences, pretty toxic and abusive experiences when it comes to, you know, training programs. And I've also been the cause of some of those abusive training programs as well.
For sure.
And, you know, getting to the root of it and really trying to figure that out and helping other people get to that point too is really important to me.
And now a word from our sponsors.
We have partnered with Hairstory, a product line that is good for our clients, our planet, and our bank account. Have you heard of Nuwash? It's like a shampoo, but actually good for your hair. Nuwash is a cleansing cream that cleans and conditions without the harsh foams and damaging detergents found in traditional shampoos. Hairstory does things differently, creating more conscious options that respect the environment and your hair ecosystem. Ready to try Nuwash for free? Visit hairstory.com/DTH to get pro access today.
I think there's a huge benefit to being the cause of toxic shit in the industry. I would say that you and I were, when we were educators, and Sid and I can teach anyone how to sell retail, which is so funny. I think because we're so good at that mm-hmm. is why we're also just as good as being like, it's not real. Mm-hmm. But I could sell this. If you're listening, I'm pointing to a fake hedge of grass. I could sell that to anyone.
I want to buy it just
because
you pointed at it.
I know. And I can tell you why you
need it. I want 10 of those.
Yeah, exactly. But my point is, like, I think what you just said, like, I've been the toxic cause of some things in the industry. I definitely,
and sometimes not even realizing it. I think.
Well, I just thought that's what
it was.
Yeah.
And then we start asking questions, and then we're like, why are we doing this?
You know when I realized selling retail was a scam? When they pitted us against each other at work.
Yeah.
Sid and I were really good at working together and selling retail, and then our boss turned it into a competition between me and Sid. And we played it for a while. We played the game.
Because we really
it
didn't
was
care.
Fun and, but then I realized, like, oh, like, we don't get anything out of this.
Yeah.
They do.
And the students didn't get anything.
No one got anything out of it, but the company made more money, but we didn't make more money.
Yeah.
And then we went to ask for more money. It was a big no.
I'm sure you've experienced that too.
Yeah.
So it's, but I think, like, when you grow up with that type of industry and you say, yeah, I was part of that toxic training program or the toxic sales or whatever. It's because I think that's how we survived. Like, that's how everyone else was getting ahead. So you went and did it.
Yeah.
It's scary to, like, try to undo all that.
Mm-hmm.
What's been your biggest success in coaching, you think?
Finally opening the salon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big
deal.
Finally
doing it. You know, getting to the point where I can do
it. You're not even done with it.
Not even done with it. No.
Yeah.
What would you say took?
Still have more risks, more challenges, more discomfort. Yeah.
What would you say it took to get you just to this? Like, obviously, you had a lot of coaching, a lot of support, a lot of conversations, but, like, what finally got you to the space where you were like, I have to do this?
Because nobody else was going to do it for me. I had to do it. You know, that was the big thing. And I wanted it so bad.
Punched a lot of listeners in the gut.
Yeah. And even through getting coached, you know, the big thing was like, you think you have all this time, but you don't have any time. You want these things. So how do you make them happen? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've done everything that I needed to do to make it happen, except for signing some papers.
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, just sign some papers, buy some products and get going.
Yeah.
You know,
what would you tell a person who's on that precipice of opening their space? And they're doing that same thing. Like,
yeah. You don't know what you're capable of until you put yourself in the situation. And I think it's really easy to, you know, sit in the stands and point the finger, you know, because I was always that person. You know, I was always that, you know, second hand of the salon owner. And I thought that was enough for so long. It was, oh, I ran the training program, or I was the salon manager, whatever it was. And you think that it's enough because you have a hand in it, but it's not yours, right?
Yeah, you're not profiting.
Right, and you're not actually in there doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to be the critic when you're not doing the thing.
Yep.
But you also don't see and feel the success as much as you would if you were actually in there. Like, you get the opportunity to have that failure and to learn, and that's okay. You know, it's part of the process, and it's not really a failure if you're fucking up.
Yeah.
Coach Frankie talks about that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Just fuck up.
That's my favorite part.
Me too.
Don't fuck down. Just
don't fuck down.
Just fuck up. Yeah.
It's so true.
It's okay. I mean, you're going to make mistakes, and you're not only that, you're allowed to make mistakes as well, because even when you're doing something new, you're going to screw up.
Right.
I mean, that's the beauty of it, right? Yeah. I think if people would have a little less fear for the screw up and just accept it as part of the process, like, it's non-negotiable. It's going to happen. Then maybe more people would dive into that uncomfortable process that they want to achieve their goals.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, is it uncomfortable, or is it your safety? Like your true safety? Because sometimes I feel like people get that confused, where it's like, am I uncomfortable, or is this really unsafe for me to uproot? Like, am I going to starve and die for real?
Yeah.
If I open a salon. Probably not. You'll find clients.
No, you might
figure it out. You're not going to die.
But the funny thing is, we don't think, but I might make more money.
No one ever thinks that.
Yeah.
I might have more in my life.
Like, what if I don't have any clients? What do you feel about all the clients? What if I can't get anybody to work with me? What if everybody wants to work with you and you have to push them away?
Yeah, what if you ran out of space and now you have to open
a second space?
We've had students.
I have
a student right now who's going through that. She's interviewing.
She went too small.
5 people a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so wild. And she's like, well, I'm going to get another chair. And I'm like, yeah, you should get a new salon.
you've outgrown
like 5 more chairs. When you are in coaching, I think there's this process like of self-discovery. But I think it's a unique type of self-discovery because I don't think it's completely hidden.
Yeah.
I think people come in, like, I know what I want from this. And then I think the surprising part is they get it.
Yeah.
And then when they get it, they're like, oh, I didn't know we were going to do it. And
you're like, I just wanted to talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah, you're like, I just wanted some support and then I got it and then I flourished. Is there a difference between, in your experience, between the support of a coach and the support of like family?
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
What is that difference?
My coaches don't lie to me.
I'm like, I yell at Ethan a lot via text. Are you kidding me?
You can have a really open conversation, like an open, honest, safe conversation with your coach.
You feel like it's for your actual benefit,
right?
Not their fears.
And nobody's trying to butter me up or make me feel better. And I think that's like a huge difference. I mean, that's something that happens, you know, in my family all the time. It's like we want to make sure that people are safe and guarded. And
it's the worst thing you could do for someone.
Right, yeah. We want to absorb all the pain that someone feels. And like, no, maybe sometimes you just need to feel it.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Has your family, your wife, or even other family members, have they like gotten worried in your coaching process? Because I feel like that happens sometimes.
Where they're like, your coach told you to do what?
Yeah, people are watching someone get coached and they're like, you're going to open a salon? We didn't talk about this.
In a week?
Yeah, no. I started practicing a ton of restriction when it came to making changes in my business. Yeah. And as far as like who I told. The lucky thing for me is that I actually have a really good support system in my wife. And, you know, even if there was something that she didn't really agree with, she was like, I trust you.
Yeah.
And she didn't say that. She would just say it. She'd be like, I trust you.
And then that's enough to be like, I cannot let her down.
Yeah.
Like,
my partner says that when he says, let's see what happens. He goes, I trust you. And it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah,
I trust you.
All right.
And then you're just like,
shit, I gotta do it.
No, so it was good. Yeah, it was good to have that support because I feel like there's a lot of people out there that don't have support like that, you know, or people that have, you know, spouses or significant others that question coaching. And that can be very difficult, right? Because you have these like strong, deep-seated relationships with these people that you've trusted for a long time. And then sometimes coaching starts to change your life within the first month.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll fuck your relationships up sometimes.
We've been through a lot of divorces with students just because, not because of the methods or anything like that, but sometimes it's just like all of a sudden they're like, there's this level of like, self-respect and fulfillment, and then they're like, why am I in this marriage that is pulling me down or not growing, you know? Or it does the opposite. It actually, we've seen a lot of partners where their partners actually start loving what they're getting their spouse is getting coached on, and then they start like flourishing together. It's like their vessels are building together. We've seen that a lot in a lot of partnerships.
We've gotten letters from people's partners.
Yeah, just like, you changed our marriage. And I'm like, because I told you to raise your prices.
Yes.
It's wild, but it's true. Yes. It's truly a butterfly effect.
Yeah, it's weird how it starts. I mean, especially with the price increase and hourly pricing, it's like, you know, your first risk on your journey to more risks, you know?
Right.
Like, that's the
you
one
crave
thing.
Them.
Yeah, yeah. And then you just start, and then the dominoes really start to fall. And then you find, you know, your next wall, you know, the next hurdle that you have to get over.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever a time where you thought, I need to get out of coaching? I quit. I can't do this.
Yeah, I think there was about a month in there where it was really challenging for me. And it was the beginning of the year. So I had made this move over to the new salon in, I think, October. So I was still fresh there and fresh off of tripling my prices. And then February hit and it was slow, slow. And I remember probably, you know, 2 to 3 calls, and I'm not a big crier. I only cry when I'm watching shows like Grey's Anatomy or something like that. It'll be something so stupid. That's or funny. Like, I'll watch like a sappy bit in like a reality TV show and I'm just like weeping on the couch and Christine will be like, what is going on? But
you're like, I have feelings.
Yeah. No, there was a time that I had 2 calls in that February and I was just like, I don't know how long I can wait. You know, it was the having the new house and having to pay the mortgage and having a new baby and trying to figure out what I'm going to do for my future. And it's sometimes it's really hard to see what that all looks like mm-hmm. when you're so in it.
When you're zoomed in.
Yeah, when you're so in it. And I was so fortunate to have a coach at that time because even though...
Which is also costing you money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and that was another risk. And I mean, other than raising my hourly price, I think that's the actual first risk that you take is, you know, signing up for the coaching and having the price. But it was so valuable for me to have a coach in that time. It's like, you're doing everything that you need to be doing. And it's coming.
Yeah.
But it might not be coming as fast as you want.
Right.
And trust it.
Yeah. And to have that restriction, because like you could easily slip into the, oh, I'm going to switch salons, or I'm going to lower my prices, or I'm going to quit, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to work more days.
That's not what I wanted. Yeah, work more days or whatever it would be, or try to squeeze people in, you know, at whatever time. And really having that restriction, that patience, like that was truly transformative for me. And it was probably one of the most rewarding things to dig myself out of.
My therapist calls that invisible. Like, losing my mind.
I was with you. I was like, ooh, what?
Invisible architecture. Like, that waiting piece, like, you can't see that things are building, like, in the background. And it's like...
I really love that.
It is a heartbreaking process. Because you're like, I think I failed. Mm-hmm. Nothing's happening.
But behind
I made the wrong decision. Your ego just starts to, like, eat away at you. And like you said, I think learning that patience, which is a big restriction of just, like, it's coming. And you know it's coming. Like, that is, I think that's the hardest thing. I think that's why most people do quit coaching, honestly, mm-hmm. is that moment of, like, you have to wait. What's the alternative?
I know.
That you charge less and work more?
You reactively mm-hmm. react go backwards, yeah.
I'm not saying that there aren't situations that are dire where yeah. someone will have to make a change. But at the same time, I think working with a coach gives you, I know that working with my coach has given me this moment of, like, I think it's all going downhill. And the coach is like, but is it?
Yeah. And then you're
and like, no.
No, everything's fine.
No. What would you tell someone who is thinking about signing up for coaching for the first time and has no idea what to expect?
Get ready for it, because it's not what you expect. We talk about it on the podcast and we talk about it on our Instagram. We talk about, you know, reactivity and everything, right? Your reactive systems. And how much we dig into that, and how if you're coming to us with a problem in your salon and we don't necessarily address that problem at face value, it can probably be very frustrating, but you have to, you know, you have to be ready for it, because the results come once you find it in yourself.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do come to us with like this problem. We're like, well, the problem's actually you.
Right.
And then they're like, no, you have to fix my team. And we're like,
I don't know.
No, let's talk about your reactivity. And then that's when it's like, we've had people be like, no, and quit. And they weren't ready to take that responsibility. And then we've had people be like, oh, shit. What did I get myself into?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, all the changes come from there. Mm-hmm. Right? Trying to figure all that stuff out.
What's it like now that you're a coach? What kind of student do you enjoy working with? And what can people expect if they start working with you?
Yeah, so I really like working with salon owners or independents who are really looking to get into salon ownership. I've done a lot of transfers from independents to salon ownership, and some people just didn't even know that that's what they were there for.
So that was an option.
Yeah, and really helping them put together their systems, especially with training programs and elevating their leadership in a very conscious way to allow people the space to grow and flourish in their salon while kind of letting go of some of that perceived control that they might want or that they see. You know, a lot of salons we've all worked in, you know, salons before where we get micromanaged to death, and to let go of that, because that is the only example that you've ever had, is really hard for people.
And what can they expect if they start working with you?
To start to let go of some of their ego.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a hard one. Oof. That's a big sell.
That's a big sell.
Yeah, to look in the mirror.
You are ready to look in the mirror and deal with your bullshit. Sign up with Ethan. He's taking new students.
So if you want to learn more about Ethan, you can visit destroythehairdresser.com/Ethan. And you can sign up to work with him. You can get a discovery call, see what it's all about. And you also work in our leadership department.
Yep.
And what do you teach people in that department?
Oh, so for the summer semester.
Summer semester. Yeah. We're in it.
I am teaching people how to create expedited training programs for new stylists in their salons. So it's actually three courses based around that. So it'll take a place from trying to hire new hairdressers, developing the program, and then after you implement the program, how do you live with your sophomore stylists?
Ooh, a sophomore stylist.
So we like
great.
It.
Great.
Like
official.
It, right?
I'm into
what's
that.
After a sophomore stylist?
I don't know, me.
Death.
Yeah, just a normal hairstylist. You get a carton of cigarettes at graduation.
You get a haircut where it's long in the front, short in the back, and a carton of cigarettes. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have you on again, I'm sure.
Right on. I'm excited.
Next time on Destroy the Hairdresser, the podcast.
In the DTH universe, like, this is what we mean when we're talking about risk-taking is just, like, why are you not actively chasing discomfort?